Our scripture this evening is from John 13, starting with verse 3. But before we read God's word, let's pray. Gracious God, your hands have made and fashioned us. Give us understanding that we may learn your commandments. Lord, we know that your rules are righteous. Let your steadfast love comfort us according to the promise you have made to your servants. Let your mercy come to us that we may live, and may your law and your word be our delight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Traditionally, we start with the scripture reading. Let's read the word of God. Starting with verse 3, chapter 13, from the gospel according to John. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you all are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God lasts forever. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen. Traditionally, on Maundy Thursday, we consider the night before Jesus goes to the cross. This is a night of preparation as Jesus prepares himself, as he prepares his disciples for life beyond the cross. It's a night that we remember as Jesus gives the new commandment to love one another as he has loved us. It's a night to remember the sacrament that he instituted in his body and blood. These are things to remember on Maundy Thursday, because tomorrow we remember Good Friday, the day when Jesus died on the cross. And so in preparation, we prepare ourselves. Let us not forget the commandment. In John 13, 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." The new commandment is to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And in this night before Jesus goes to the cross, it's so important that Jesus teaches this to his disciples. The sacrament of the Lord's table is so important that Jesus has to get their attention. And he gets their attention through living out a parable here, through a shocking display of humility as he bows down to wash their feet. Feet washing at this time was either a sign of true love, that someone really cared for you, or a really demeaning task. Some in Jesus' time would say that not even Jewish slaves should wash the feet of others, but that should only be reserved for Gentile slaves, those who were not of the people of God. That's how demeaning this task was considered. And so you can imagine, as Jesus, the Lord of Lords, bows down, how shocking this would be for his disciples. He wants to prepare his disciples for life beyond the cross, and he gets their attention so that he can teach them this new commandment, so that he can teach them about the Lord's Supper. Hear the message tonight that Jesus gives. You know who I am. Now, do as I do and fulfill the new commandment. In our passage tonight, we see that God reestablishes communion with his people through Jesus' death on the cross. As we remember this night of preparation, know who it is who died for you that Good Friday. Know your Savior. Know who Jesus is. Know what Jesus does. And in light of that, know how we are to follow. First, we need to know who Jesus is. For Jesus, knowing and doing are connected. In verses 3 and 4, we see this. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. It's kind of a long sentence, and so we can condense it down and first see that Jesus rose from supper. That was the action that Jesus took. But what's between the commas tells us how he did it. He rose up knowing who he was. He rose up knowing where he came from. And he rose up knowing where he was going. It says that he rose up knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. The prophet Daniel would describe this well in Daniel chapter 7. The prophet writes, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." This is what is given into the hands of Jesus as he rises up to wash the dirty feet of his disciples. Paul would explain it this way in Colossians, speaking of Jesus, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." This is what is given into Jesus' hands. Jesus has all authority, all dominion, all power, all of creation given to him in his hands. And knowing that supreme authority is his, Jesus rises up to wash the dirty feet of his disciples. Knowing and doing are connected for Jesus. He knows where he comes from. He's fully aware of who he is. Hours later, this same night that we remember tonight, Jesus would pray for his disciples in this high priestly prayer. In John 17, we read, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Jesus knew that he was with God before the world existed. Jesus knows where he comes from because Jesus knows that he is God. Jesus rises up to take action knowing that he is God, that he is the God of faithfulness, that he is the God of mercy and justice and truth and the God of all goodness. He rises up knowing that he's the God of redemption and salvation. And he knows that he is a God of action. And so knowing this, he rises up and he takes action to wash the dirty feet of his disciples. But he also knows where he's going. He knows that he's going back to God the Father. So as he rises up to take this demeaning, humble act of service, he does so knowing full well that soon he will be in the very presence of God his Father, once again enjoying the perfect unity of the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This slight trial stands before him, but a larger trial looms this night, the trial of the cross and Jesus' death on that cross. He picks up that awful service as well, knowing with full knowledge, going in full hope that he will again be in the presence of his Father. Knowing and doing are connected. Look at verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus knows and Jesus does. And he tells his disciples to do the same thing this night as he prepares for life beyond the cross. So Jesus rises up from the table and he takes off his outer robe and he takes up in his hands the cloth, the towel of a servant and ties it around his waist. Now dressed as a servant, he pours out water and he prepares to clean his disciples' feet. And he comes to Peter. And Peter, he says, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus knows what he's doing. Peter says, "Jesus, you will never wash my feet." It's classic Peter. It's classic overreaction. He doesn't understand. If you were to read it in the Greek, it would not just say, "You'll never wash my feet," but it's emphatic. "You will never, ever wash my feet, Jesus." He doesn't understand. But think back to the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 16, Jesus has said that he's going to die and he's going to rise from the dead. And Peter rebukes Jesus. He says, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Here, too, Peter has his mind set on the things of man. "Would you, the King of Kings, wash my feet?" He has his mind set on the things of man. But Jesus has his mind set on the things of God. "Peter, how could the King of Kings not wash you and you still be saved?" Jesus understands that the cross is the only way to salvation. that all must be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ to be saved. This is the way of God. And Peter doesn't yet understand that. He says in verse 8, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. To have a share with someone is a Greek saying. It means to share an experience with another, to be a part of a whole and a shared experience. Jesus is saying, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no share in me, no share in my death. You have no share in my life, no share in my righteousness. If I don't wash you, you are not a part of me. In Romans 6, Paul writes, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Those who are washed by Jesus have a share with Jesus, a share in his death that we might be dead to sin, a share in his resurrection that we might walk in newness of life. If Peter's not washed by Jesus, Peter has no share in these things. We see a difference here between bathing and washing and cleanliness. And it can seem like things are at odds a little bit. But let's start here. All of the disciples are in the room. They're all there, all 12, and Jesus is washing all of their feet. But what does Jesus say? He says, your feet are all washed, but not all of you are clean. He says, for he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. So we know who it was that was not washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who was not justified through faith in Jesus Christ. Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. Peter's making a lot of mistakes here, and he's not understanding things. But Jesus assures him that he is cleaned. He says it. The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you all are clean, but not all of you. It's Judas who's excluded from this list, who is not trusting in Jesus. It's not Peter. To be bathed is to be justified. To be bathed is to trust in Jesus Christ. To be washed in his blood and to be declared righteous at the throne of God. That's what it means to be bathed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Declared right now righteous and holy before the throne of God for the sake of Jesus Christ. So why is Jesus still washing feet? We have a question here. The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet. Well, why the feet? The feet are easily soiled. As Peter is walking through this life, he's trusting in Jesus. He's washed by the blood of Jesus, but he's still struggling through this world. Remember, Peter was the first one to declare, Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And hours later, Peter is going to deny that he even knows Jesus. I don't even know the man. Poor Peter, trusting in Jesus Christ, but still fumbling all along the way. This is Peter who, in the beginning of the book of Acts, takes part in the salvation of literally thousands of people as he preaches repentance in the kingdom of God in Jerusalem. As the Holy Spirit is working through him to convert thousands of people. We find out later in Antioch that Peter can't even humble himself enough to go and sit with Gentile Christians because he's afraid of the circumcision party, of what men might think. You see, Peter still goes through life, even Peter, the apostle, he goes through life with his mind set on the things of man and not on the things of God, and yet he's still cleansed. But we can start to see why his feet need to be washing now. If you think about this picture of bathing, you bathe, you're clean, you're ready to go, and as you step out and your feet hit the floor, they're already beginning to be defiled, especially if you were in the desert. Now imagine you go out for a walk in a sandbox. What do your feet look like? They become filthy. This is the picture of the Christian life, as we are washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, but we live our lives in this fallen world, and each step that we take through this fallen world, our sin defiles us. The sins of other people defile us. And so what do? We go back to Jesus so Jesus can wash our feet again and again. We go back to Jesus and confess our sins. Lord Jesus, again, my sin defiles me, and I have sinned against you. Forgive me. And so continually, Jesus washes our feet through the confession of our sins. Continually, Jesus washes our feet as he sits now at the right hand of God and intercedes for us continually, pouring out prayers. The hymn writer Charles Wesley put it well. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him. Oh, forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. All who are cleaned by the blood of Jesus Christ are ransomed sinners. And as we live through this life, we need to trust that Jesus, even now, pours out prayers of intercession on our behalf at the throne of God. That's the difference between being bathed and having our feet cleaned. So we see that Jesus gets up knowing who he is. We see that Jesus gets up and we see what he does. He points people to the cross. He forgives people. He serves people humbly. And as we start to put all this together, we can see how it is that we are to follow Jesus. In verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Jesus is saying, if I'm your Lord, now you need to act like it. If I, your Lord, wash the feet of others and humbly serve, then you are to humbly serve. He says, if I forgive, you are to forgive. And so as we walk through this world as disciples of Jesus Christ, he calls us to do the same thing. Just as Jesus pointed Peter back to the necessity of being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, we too are to go out into the world and turn others to the blood of Jesus Christ, pointing them to forgiveness of their sins through Jesus Christ alone. Jesus humbly serves through forgiveness. And not only that, but humbly serves through forgiving others. And so we too are to forgive others. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We are to forgive others as God in Christ forgave us. We're to pray for others as Jesus prays for us continually, lifting up and bearing our burdens, our neighbors. As we lift them up in prayer to Christ, we're to humbly serve all around us. Jesus was serving through his death on the cross. But he taught this through this object lesson of washing feet. Let us not forget that the disciples' feet were really clean. There is a deep spiritual meaning behind what Jesus is doing here, but let's not forget that their feet were actually clean when he finished cleaning them. This points us to the real physical needs that people have. And if Jesus really cleaned the feet of his disciples, then we too are to really go out and care for the physical needs of people around us. And we can go back to the story of the Good Samaritan and say it should be all of our neighbors, but let's really look at this. Jesus washed the feet of Judas, the one who he knew was going to betray him, his enemy. And yet Jesus really washed his feet. We must humble ourselves in service to all those around us, even those we perceive as our enemies. We will never encounter anyone who is as far below us as we are below Jesus. Does that make sense? Jesus, the King of the cosmos, the Creator of the universe, God Almighty, condescended into this earth to wash the dirty feet of his disciples. There is nobody in this creation that is as far below us as we are from God. And so we are to humbly serve the needs of all of those around us. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. That's how we fulfill this new commandment. We fulfill it through forgiving, through pointing others to Christ, to forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave us, in serving one another and serving their needs, even those who we think are our enemies. This humble service is what shows forth the character and glory of God Almighty here on this earth through our hands and through our feet. Not through spectacular acts of miracles, but through spectacularly humble acts of service and love and forgiveness. That is how God is known. As we gather here tonight to consider tomorrow, to prepare for Good Friday, let us remember who it is that hung on that cross so long ago. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all creation. And see in our story tonight the very scope of God's story of salvation. Jesus removed his outer robe and he took up the towel of a servant. Philippians says that though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Jesus Christ took the form of a servant, and he took up a towel in his hands. But the next day, he would take up in his hands the nails of the cross, dying for our sins. Here in our story today, Jesus pours out water to clean the feet of his disciples. But on the cross, he pours out his blood to clean us from our very sin, from our unrighteousness that separates us from God. And when Jesus was finished with this work, he resumed his place at the table and he put on his outer robe, returning to God the Father Almighty. And now, interceding for us and calling for us to be his hands and feet. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, our Savior, who was hanged on that tree years ago, for us. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, not only did you condescend into your creation, but you died the most miserable death on the cross, paying our debt for sin, redeeming us from slavery, and giving us new life through your word and the power of your spirit. Lord, may we be washed by your blood and share with you all the benefits of your glory. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.